Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And education is the theme of our show today. We have superintendents joining us here from Riley County here in the first half of the show. Geary County a little bit later on. Joining us here from USD 378, Riley County Schools, Cliff Williams is on with us on Zoom. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good to talk to you here this morning. And John Cox, superintendent over at USD 384 Blue Valley Schools up in Randolph. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Appreciate getting a chance to talk to both of you here today. School year getting going. Of course, Blue Valley Schools already in. We were just talking here before the show. And John, already the second full week for you guys.
That's correct. The time has flown by during our discussion. I thought, well, was last Thursday the first day? And I'm like, no, we've been in, and it's been really good having the kids back.
Well, I'm sure, definitely. And Cliff, you guys get going tomorrow, is that right?
That's correct. We got a little taste of it last night, Brandon. Our grade school had open house, and you could feel the energy with parents coming back. I think we even had a few extra guests that wanted to see all the new renovations early, so it was an exciting time.
Oh, obviously, we're all looking forward to the newness here of the school year, and a little different than it was a year ago, I suppose, for many of us, although the masks are still a point of contention here for a lot of school officials. What is the mask requirement in each district? Cliff, what do you guys have there?
We are highly recommending the usage of masks, but we are not making it mandatory. We're trying to parallel the recommendations that the CDC is putting out.
All right. And John, I think it's the same up for in Blue Valley, correct?
That is correct. We recommend, and then we strongly encourage everyone to do so. It's the one way that we can actively keep kids in school, even if they're close contact. So we recommend it and highly encourage it.
Well, and it's one thing. I know a lot of folks kind of have their own view on the whole mask issue. But, John, I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about that here this morning, just kind of the educational piece for parents to know.
Yes. The health department, along with the CDC and other health agencies, have put out their guidance. And they all mirror, for the most part, what everybody else. And the thing that's hard to wrap your brain around is there's always the if-then questions. If a person is doing this, then we can do this. And so I just wanted to take a few minutes this morning and kind of educate our community and just say that we're doing our best to keep our students at the 6 feet social distance as much as possible. Since we are not requiring masks, that is probably the safest place that we can be. But if students, when the masks become in play, as if students are in close contact for within 3 feet, it's regardless of whether you're wearing a mask, but if you're in 3 feet for longer than 10 minutes, you're automatically a close contact and have to go home and quarantine. But here's where it is really important for parents and community members to know that if they're within 3 to 6 feet, but they're wearing a mask, the students don't have to go home and quarantine. We monitor them here at school, and if they become symptomatic, then we'll send them home. And that's really important to know. As school has started, we've had to send a handful of kids home to quarantine because of close contacts from home. And we had parents ask those questions. And so I just thought today would be a good opportunity to share that information, that if you're wearing a mask and you're within that 3 to 6 foot window, and there is no time limit in there, that if you are deemed a close contact, you don't have to go home immediately, only when you become symptomatic. So that's really important. And that was really the piece that I wanted to share, is how masks can deter the loss of work for parents, and how it will keep kids in school where they need to be.
All right, that's a key component there. And this is tricky to navigate. I've been hearing just from school officials around here that, and it's heartbreaking to tell parents your kids can't come to school, if they are COVID positive. But you guys want to keep them in as long as possible, because that's ultimately the goal here.
That's
most definitely. And if I can add to that, one quirk to that equation as well that all of us are dealing with that came down through a federal order is anytime we transport students, they have to wear a mask. So maybe your district's adopted that we highly recommend but don't mandate, but when we do transport them, we do have to have them in mask. So we would encourage families to be prepared for that equation, especially with us starting school tomorrow. So just a fresh reminder there that you do need to wear a mask, even if that is a school car or suburban or van. That's the directive we're under at this time.
All right, so good to have that with you. Cliff, I'm going to ask you a couple things. I know you got to get going here in just a little bit. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about what you're expecting here for enrollment coming up as you start school tomorrow.
Yeah, Brandon, it's something that's always measured every year by school districts. We always hang around the September 20 count, but we monitor it closely because it just depends on how we do carry on business. And I'm happy to report that it looks like ours has jumped. Last year at this time, we were at about 633, and we look like we're at about 702 right now. Part of that change is that we are going to be hosting the TELIC preschool. Last year, John's district hosted that, and that's going to travel over to us. So we're excited about that change and got a new space and a new teacher over here. So that's helped. And then we just had several other families that have moved in. So in the school world, when your enrollment goes up, it's pretty exciting.
Any idea how many of those are maybe coming from the Manhattan area?
I don't have that specific breakdown. I know we have several, but we've had several from out of state and more districts to the west. So it's been a little different change for us.
Okay. Interesting. Well, and we'll be curious to find out what the numbers, the official numbers are in about a month. I guess that comes out on what, the 20th, right, of September?
The 20th is the official count day. Yeah. So definitely one we always have on our radar.
All right. As far as the bond's concerned, how's that going?
We're almost finished. So John was talking about his first 2 weeks. It went fast. And I know our 2 years of bond projects has gone fast for us as well. We've got a few small things on our list to make sure that we get finished up. We do have just a couple delays, but I'd say about 99% of it is finished. And again, with an open house last night and the staff coming in, we even did a staff tour and you could feel the enthusiasm. So we're very excited to be able to open our doors with a new facelift in there and some new additions and even a storm shelter at our grade school that we haven't had before. So it'll help with our safety. And just want to remind everyone that the board is going to host an official reopening on Saturday, October 9th from 9 to 11. That'll be in connection with the Riley Fall Festival. So it should be a fun fall Saturday on the 9th.
All right. We'll mark our calendars for that. That'll be a exciting thing. And remind me, this was like, what, the third attempt to pass a bond in Riley County Schools?
That's correct. Some can say that was a failure, or maybe we just learned how to get it right and align up to what our patrons want. You know, these are the patrons' schools. And so there was a big emphasis on security and more emphasis down here at the grade school. We probably spent about $8 million on the grade school and $4 million on the high school. But our timing was impeccable, and we just got so much that every single classroom was touched. In our original plan, we didn't think we'd be able to afford that, but we were able to do that. So that is very exciting. We put the majority of our funds into the classrooms. It's so a big environmental change, so very exciting.
Is there any certain piece of that project that you're most excited about?
I might be a little weird here, Brandon, but I guess I probably like the safety piece of it from having the storm shelter in the grade school. It's probably a good lesson for me. A few years ago, we had some straight line wind that came through and I could hear the roofs a rattling as we're sitting in a classroom / hallway, and definitely knew that we could do better for our students. So I probably like the storm shelter the most.
All right. Well, we just had some straight line winds over in my neighborhood the other day, and now I have a big tree missing out of my yard because they cut it down. It got so damaged. So unfortunate there. But did you guys get any damage last Friday from those storms in Riley?
We did not as the school.
Okay.
Affiliate. I mean, so we were pretty fortunate, but I guess we probably weren't complaining when you have a little mud in August. That doesn't seem to be something that goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate. I'm glad you guys are okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. You know, we're speaking with John Cox and Cliff Williams here at Riley County and Blue Valley Schools. Cliff, I might just also ask you, I know a couple weeks ago we received news from your district about a scam, and a pretty hefty one, involving a telephone scam where I think $100,000+ left here at the school district. And I don't know if you can comment on that or just tell us where the investigation is at in this point.
Well, it's still under investigation. It was more of an internet scam than it was a telephone scam. Okay. So we're glad you bring that up, that we can provide that clarity. Right now, it's in the hands of the Riley County Police Department in conjunction with the FBI. They're taking this very seriously, and we've heard some good news as far as maybe locating some of the perpetrators, you know, as we were a victim in this. And very unfortunate. Again, we plan once we know a little bit more that we can release that, but that's kind of where we are right now.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you commenting on that. I know you got to run here. Is there anything else we you want to share here this morning with our listeners?
I just want to reach out and thank all the patrons on behalf of their support to be able to move forward with a bond as we finally get to wrap this up and improve the educational experience for our kids. This is the largest bond they've ever had in our district, and it has made a huge difference, and it is going to create enthusiasm. We're going to be safer from having a drop-off lane that is separate from our buses to the storm shelter, on down the line, even down to paint and new lighting. So just want to pass that on from our group, saying thank you so very much. We're excited to start a school year, and as always, ask parents to reach out to us. We're here to help. We don't know it all, but we're willing to work together to provide the best experience for kids.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate the information, and we're going to take a break. Cliff, it was good talking to you, and we'll talk again next month.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after this with John, more with John Cox here from Blue Valley Schools on In Focus.